Hello there, St. Andrew's family.
What's up, guys?
It's Pastor Matt and
Pastor Ethan.
And we're actually sitting here, not in our studios in Burbank. We're actually
not today.
Pastor Ethan's kitchen right now.
That's right. Which is perhaps even nicer than our studio in Burbank, California.
It is very nice.
Thanks to the great work done by our building and grounds committee.
It really is gorgeous. Yeah. And you guys have really made this place into an incredible home too. I love it. So
well, thank you.
Absolutely. Okay. Well, let's just start with some reflections.
Yeah,
first off, your first Holy Week here at St. Andrews. Yeah. What are your thoughts?
Well, I have a lot of thoughts. I guess my main reflection is just like appreciation for not only just how well all the services are just kind of like planned out and thought through so intentionally.
Yeah.
But also with like how many people are involved throughout the whole season of Lent, leading different things, music, all the midweek services, and then just that mammoth of Holy Week, like so many people take on so much responsibility.
Yeah.
And just own it, and there's so many like plates for people to step up to.
Yeah.
And like you guys did it.
Like, unbelievable.
I was just so like, appreciation is like the number one word. So thankful for how well everything went and all the people involved, and yeah, just God able to use us, you know, to proclaim his word.
Yeah, I would say the thing that struck me was just usually, you know, after Holy Week, it's hard and it's a lot of work from the pastor's behalf. But this week, this year, I mean, everybody has so much work every year. But this year, everybody's really clicking. Really felt like people own, like, hey, this is what I'm doing. I'm into it. And I tell you what, I did not feel wrecked after Easter Sunday. Holy guys, I was physically tired of from being up on my feet so much. And,
yeah,
but I wasn't. Man, it was not. It felt great, and I feel great right now. So,
right.
Yeah, big thanks to the St. Andrews community.
Amen.
One thing I noticed this year was we did the Roman Guards. How much the community appreciated. And Killian and I were up for 2 hours on a Saturday, and I think we had 10 different cars stop, and people get out and talk to us, and take pictures, and people honking and showing appreciation. And the one that I was telling you earlier, this young man skater, you know, on a skateboard, kind of came up and he stopped for a second, looked at us quiet for a second, and he said, "So you guys are guarding the tomb?" And I said, "Yeah." And then he looked at me and kind of squinted his eyes and said, "I've been hearing rumors though, man." And so it was really cool, but really interactive. So just some logistical things. Last year we added three services total for Easter. We were so pumped because we broke 600 people. I think it's 610 people or something like that. Maybe 620, I forget. But then this year, we had almost 700. I think we're just about 13 shy of 700 people. So, man, God is moving. People are coming. It was great. So, but what was it like for you to preach on the Maundy Thursday and Good Friday, Maundy Thursday? You talked some about Jesus washing the disciples' feet, you know?
Yeah.
And then Good Friday, the message was very well received, and man, really hit home to say, hey, we can all think of times in our lives where something was really bad. We thought it was really bad in the moment, but it turned out for our good. And that was a great lead-in for us to understand Good Friday on a horrible day, you know?
Right.
So, yeah, to reflect on those two sermons a little bit.
Thinking back to Thursday, I was able to talk about the washing of the feet of the chapel service in the morning.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
Leaned into the foot washing.
Mm-hmm.
And then that preaching that evening, I remember just really, really contemplating the idea of looking back at the things done for us through the history of God working through his people. And that's just something that me and you have talked a lot about, like that identifies us as Christians in general, but kind of particularly kind of part of our identity at St. Andrews seems to center around this idea of like, we are still being influenced and kind of directed and shaped right now by the things that had been revealed to us
mm-hmm.
in the scriptures, which
mm-hmm.
happened so long ago. And that kind of reality really influenced the way I read Jesus instituting the Lord's Supper, God instituting the Passover meal. It's a way for God to continue to shape his people throughout time that draws them back to how much he loves us, to his
yeah.
power, his power to set us free, and his power over death itself. So I hope that allowed us to see, and I kind of use that phrase, like we have eyes to see like what God is doing right now in the Lord's Supper.
Well, for sure.
It's not
yeah.
only a memory, I guess.
Right, right. I think that struck home. I think the point that he also made that was really well taken is, you know, we think of like, oh, well, the New Testament is the history of Christians, right? But like this Old Testament stories, that's your history. Everybody as much as like a modern day Jewish person, you know, it's your history. It's a Christian, so that's your heritage. And so you really connected us deep into our heritage, not just, you know, obviously, 2,000 years ago is a long time ago, but to go way back further than that with the Passover, and that's part of it, too,
mm-hmm.
and that's part of us. That's part of who we are. So
yeah, I like
cool.
that way of thinking about it. I listen to a pastor pretty often on one of his, like, Bible studies, and he just calls every person of faith in the Old Testament, he just calls them a Christian. He just doesn't even, like,
yeah, yeah.
try to beat around. He's like, yeah, they're Christians.
Yeah, but faith in the Messiah. But
right.
faith in the coming Messiah.
Or Messiah
yeah.
ends, or however you
yeah. want. Yeah, I like it. Yeah, the anointed one, yeah. That's cool, man. And then Good Friday, that was a powerful message. And I appreciate, you know, there's kind of, it's a different setup, like we talked about in our last recording, that you're setting up the evening, so you're not responding to what's already been read. You're you're preparing for what has been. You did a great job of that. You know that basically we're going to hear some awful, terrible things.
And
you know, but this is going to be for our good.
And it's one of those where I don't know. I think it's sometimes too easy to not really like fully look at just how like rough that
oh
that golly day is,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Jesus like really the pain that he endured, the injustice of it all, all of it.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to prepare us to really acknowledge, man, this was like really bad. This was as bad as it could possibly get.
Well, it was the most horrific death ever invented.
Yeah, right,
I mean, and
right.
invented by the Romans, and they, yeah,
exactly. And so, how do you acknowledge like the horror of it,
mm-hmm.
But also leave room for the fact that this is leading to the greatest it's going to get,
right?
You know,
right?
Like literally victory over every scheme that the devil came up with, you know,
yeah.
since the beginning. And all of his attempts to pull us away from God, whether it started with Adam and Eve or up till right now, like all of that's been conquered. So like leave a little bit of room, you know, for us to remember that's coming, you know?
Yeah, that there's some hope there.
And that like, so that's why it is Good Friday.
Yeah.
You know, it was all those horrible things were done so that we can experience the greatest thing ever.
And it's such a heavy day, and the service is so heavy. The
oh
service
goodness.
Is so
yeah.
weighty.
Yeah.
And people, I think, responded well to that. I forget the numbers of people that came. Mm-hmm. It was just the church absolutely packed full of people
mm-hmm.
for that service of darkness. And I can see why. It's like that helps us to celebrate Easter, but you go down to that valley of the shadow of death, and it is brutal and heavy and hard. And I'm glad that our people come out to that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm glad that's not like, let's skip Good Friday, let's go straight to Easter.
No,
let's
so
go. Let's
important.
Go through it. Yeah,
so important. Yeah, whenever you see the darkness of it, it makes the brightness of Easter that much
mm-hmm.
more beautiful and more special. And yeah, and so yes. Yeah, so speaking of the joys of Easter and the celebration of Easter, getting to what you preached on two different gospel sermons.
Yeah, a little different, a little bit. And I like how you got up with the when you read. You said it's Easter. We get, hey, listen, check this out. We get two gospels. That was really funny. That was well taken. Yeah.
But I love the way that, like, well, first off, the way that God gives us almost these little windows to put in our own terms so our little minds can understand.
Right.
Just a little glimpse of his glory and his goodness and his overall story. He gives us like human tangible examples for us to look at.
Mm-hmm.
And so kind of walk us back through a little bit of what you did and some of the things that now you're reflecting on a couple of days later.
Yeah. A couple of days later, I think the thing that I appreciate, and I think frankly, this whole thing started for me. The reason I obviously picked the other gospel from the raising the widow's son at Nain. Part of the reason I did that is just because for many years, Easter is hard to preach, and it shouldn't be. I mean, it's the best day of the whole year. It's the hope of eternity, but it's so big that sometimes it's kind of hard to preach on because of that. So I thought I needed to kind of put it in terms I could understand to study. And I kept going back to the widow of Nain. I thought, well, if I'm going to do this, why don't I just take the congregation with me into this?
Yeah.
You know, because that helped. That it always helps me. And so if it helps me, maybe it helps somebody else. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of the thinking behind that. Let's and it's still an incredible miracle. It's not like it's some like, oh, some small lame thing. It's like if Jesus rose his kid from the dead. Yeah. It's still a pretty big deal.
It's still not super easy for us to wrap our minds
around. No.
But what you did so beautifully was you made sure that, like, we took a moment to like think about the joy that mom experienced.
Yeah, unimaginable, you know, right? Yeah,
like seeing that, like that was really cool. Honing in on that moment.
And I've always thought about that more in terms of the past of like the pain in Scripture. I get kind of mad at Genesis' sacrifice of Isaac, Genesis 22, the Abraham sacrificing Isaac.
Yeah.
That story always makes me so like upset and uncomfortable and offended.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until later on that I thought, oh, wait a minute. Is God giving us a window into what he felt, God the Father, on Good Friday?
Right.
And the same thing with like David. David, you know, he sleeps with Bathsheba. They have this child, and the first child dies. This innocent baby dies.
Uh-huh.
And I hate that baby died. It just makes me so mad. And then I think, I'm upset because an innocent child, an innocent son died for the sins of other people.
Mm.
And it's like, okay, is God opening this a little bit of the door a little bit for me to see what it's like for the innocent son of God to die for my sins? You know?
That's a really good insight, I think, to reading the Scriptures. Like if we're reading something and it's like, it's making us a little angry or something, like, maybe it's supposed to. If we're reading something and it's like just really like causing us to like just ask a lot of questions,
mm-hmm.
like it's maybe it's supposed to. Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah, that's kind of cool.
So that's kind of where love that came from. And I think I think during the holidays too, and like Easter, even Easter, mm-hmm. people are thinking about their loved ones that they've lost and mm-hmm. pain they've been through. And I think it's great news, but let's not gloss over the fact that we're still in this world and there's still pain and there's still, you know, it's still hard.
Right.
And so that was kind of the impetus for that. Kind of interesting too, because then as we look forward to next week, this week coming up, I mean, it's every year, it's one of the few years, like the 3-year cycle, every year has the same reading,
mm-hmm.
and it's always the upper room. It's always John. And the disciples in the upper room and from John 20, and it's Thomas, you know, who doubts or doesn't believe, I should say, is worse than doubting.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure what I'm going to preach on yet, because I know that's I would love to preach on that. I would also love to preach on the disciples kind of being persecuted. So we've got to follow the Lord rather than men, like they're totally transformed.
Yeah.
Because they're fallen men rather than the Lord, and they'd abandoned Jesus, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're gonna, now whatever you're gonna do to us doesn't matter. Do we have the risen Christ? It changes everything.
Right.
But there's, and for some reason, I don't know how much this I'm gonna get into, but I'm focusing in right now, just my study, on this guy Gamaliel.
Right.
He, who's the chief rabbi, he's the Nasi, which is the leader of the Sanhedrin, the leader of the Pharisees. And he's the head guy. And they're saying, let's stop these guys. And Gamaliel has this wisdom to say, I mean, you can do that. On the other hand, listen, if these guys are a bunch of jokers and this doesn't come from God, it's going to fizzle out anyways.
Right.
And if they are from God, why would we be trying to stop them?
Right.
We're not going to be able to stop them.
There's nothing we can do.
Nothing we can do about it.
Yeah.
And I thought, whoa, that's like, it's just such wisdom coming in off the top ropes there, you know?
That is so interesting, like that perspective to say, well, if it's not God's will, then like we don't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
Because God's in control.
Right, right.
But if it is God's will, then God's going to make it happen. So
yeah.
It's almost like it reminds me of like the Sermon on the Mount, like don't be anxious about anything. That's what's coming to my mind. Like,
yeah.
Like God's doing all the things.
So, exactly.
So we don't need to worry about it. That's a very different context. That's kind of what's coming to my mind. Like he's not worrying about the disciples.
He's not worrying. And the thing is, like Gamaliel, if you read like summaries of him, they would say, well, he's kind of more lenient, like Hillel, his grandfather was, you know, kind of more, not as much of a hardliner. But when I read the stuff that he said, I've been going through the Talmud, just finding references to Gamaliel. He was not like a guy to be trifled with. And he was not afraid to take on people. And
right.
He wasn't like the most gentle soul when it came to dealing with people. So for him to say what he said is just kind of wild. So I'm not sure what I'm going to do with that. I'm not sure if I'm going to do anything with it.
Right.
But that's something, you know, we're at Tuesday right now. And that's something that's just kind of been on my mind.
Well, and that's significant, you know, if God is putting on your mind and sticking with you, then that usually says something.
I agree.
And as you're, you know, walking through the next few days, it's kind of cool that we're talking at a point where like you're still not 100% sure which direction you'll go, all those sorts of things. But could you just get us into the mind of like, in general, preparing to speak to people, to preach a word from God immediately after, you know, a huge celebration week.
Right.
Because we're currently in the season of Easter now.
Right.
Right. It's not, that's what's kind of cool about our church here is like Easter doesn't happen and then we're just on to the next thing.
Right.
So we're in Easter week one now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. So how do we like keep that celebration going? Like what's kind of in the back of your mind? What's kind of the driving force for the next, maybe even couple of weeks as we're still celebrating the resurrection?
Right. So Easter, after Easter, you always have readings from Acts, which you can get into. The gospel readings are amazing. The gospel from John's amazing. Mm-hmm. But the thing that I find really interesting, and this is another reason we know that scripture isn't made up. Because if this is going to be a made up story, Easter would happen, then everything would be perfect. Everything's restored, everybody's good, everybody believes. But we immediately confront Easter in the real world.
Mm-hmm.
Like Thomas doesn't believe and actually says some really crass things. Like, let me put my finger into his hand. Let me put my hand into his side. That's gross.
Yeah.
That's terrible. That's disgusting. That's a crass way to say anything.
Yeah.
And then they're starting to preach and they're getting persecuted for preaching the book of Acts. Like, we have to take the reality of Easter, which is the victory has been won. But I was listening to a podcast today where the pastor was saying, yeah, but the disarmament hasn't happened. So we still have an enemy who's armed and fighting.
Yeah.
And Easter's happened. We have the victory. I'm still really sad about people that I miss because they died.
Right.
Easter's won. The God is a victory. I still suffer with temptation and struggle with sin.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, this is a true story and a true account because Easter happens. But it doesn't mean that all the struggles are gone. It just means we know who wins ultimately, but we're still in this fight. We're still in this broken and fallen world. And that's probably kind of where I'm going to go. But for the next few weeks, Easter's real. It's really there. We have hope. We have the promise. It's as good as done, but we still got work to do. And
yeah.
we still have struggles, you know?
I love that. Like Easter in the real world and the idea of it's not just a, and everybody lived happily ever after. But it is kind of a, of looking forward to, we will live happily ever after, but until then, what does Eastern real world kind of look like?
Exactly. Exactly. Just as we're talking, the image that comes to mind is, you know, there were a couple of, like, you know, F-15 pilots that got shot down and they were rescued. And, like, the thing is, one of the doctrines of the military is that you just don't leave anybody behind. So those pilots must have known people were coming. And there's a great hope that people are coming. You know, this is not a perfect example, but in the meantime, you're still fighting. You're still in enemy territory. You're still, you know, but it helps on the way. And like SEAL Team 6 is going to, they're going to come get you and they're not going to mess around. You know, they promise they're coming. So you can rely on that. But in the meantime, it sure doesn't feel real hopeful all the time. And every moment you're still fighting.
No, and I think that's actually, it's like pretty good picture.
Yeah.
Like we're the church militant.
Mm-hmm.
For a reason. We're still battling, you know, in our time here until the Lord comes.
Yeah.
Well, that's beautiful, man. Thank you for walking us through that.
Absolutely.
Let's, as we just kind of allow the Lord to continue to speak his word to you, let's say a prayer.
Thank you. I appreciate
get ready
that
for this weekend, man.
Yes, sir.
Lord God, we give you thanks for such a great message that you give to us, a message that truly shapes us and changes everything, Lord, that we are not dead in our sins. We are alive with you as you live and reign right now, Lord. So thank you for a great Easter celebration, a great Holy Week, a great season of Lent, and for all the people who have just supported this ministry at St. Andrew's. We give you thanks for all the people, this community we have. At this time, just bless Pastor Matt as he continues to just be nourished by your word, and that you would send your spirit to continue to direct and guide him in all his thoughts. And Lord, every idea, every thought he has would eventually become clear and focused to a point where he's able to proclaim a continued message of what your resurrection means for us right now as we continue to live in this fallen and broken world. Lord, be with him in his preparation. Be with us as we prepare to receive that word, and just bless us all here at St. Andrew's. We lift these things to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right. Thanks, brother. And St. Andrew's, we'll see you this weekend.
See you guys.